You're John.
I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
And you're listening to
all yesterday's parties.
With hilarious consequences.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the consequences.
Oh, they're so hilarious.
Well, welcome to series 2.5, episode 3. We're getting down to some more beers.
Mm.
All this has been recorded in one day, we might as well admit it, on the December the 17th of the death year of 2016. We're talking about Safe as Milk Festival, which is taking place in the 2017s at the Prestatins Pontins.
On the 23rd and 23rds of April.
The 23rd and 23rd of April, yes.
21st and 23rd of April. To the 20th. Fucking hell, Jesus.
3 days in April, anyway.
Yeah!
Yeah, baby. And there's going to be all kinds of wonderful, weirdy, beardy, sexy, wexy, funky, wonky.
Thrifty, wifty.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Mostly musical. And we're rather excited about it, aren't we, John?
We are rather excited.
But before we get down to the meat and or potatoes of this podcast,
yes,
we've got our usual little preambles. If you're a long time listener, hi Gary. If you're a long time listener, you'll know that we like to talk about beers. What beer are you on, John?
I am drinking Timothy Taylor's Landlord.
Oh,
he's not best pleased. He's not best pleased.
Oh. As I am having, Brewdog Punk IPA.
Nice.
These are all just from Co-op. We do normally like to support our local bottle dispensaries, but we just didn't have the time. I was supposed to be going to a Christmas party tonight, so I just didn't have the time to get
the aforementioned.
Yeah. Whatever you were talking about then, John. But anyway, Brewdog Punk IPA. Brewdog is a funny one, because they seem to be part of the whole kind of spearheading of the excitement of craft brewery in this country.
They do, yes.
And yet, their beer is, on the whole, just alright.
Yes.
I like Punk IPA. I like it quite a lot, I'll be honest.
Yes.
I'm glad that one is available in pretty much every supermarket in the land. I liked Elvis Juice as well. That's a good one.
That's one I think I've been meaning to try.
That's very pleasant.
Yes.
They've got it at that place near the cinema in Castle.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I recommend having a little go at that. But a lot of them are just kind of adequate.
Yes. Well, I went to Bottlecraft last week.
In the Hanleys.
In the Hanley that they have these days.
Indeed.
By the bins.
Yes.
When I first started going to Bottlecraft, they had a beer from a brewery that I can't remember, but the beer was a chocolate marble. And that was quite a favourite of mine. And
that sounds filthy gorgeous.
I remember buying a bottle of it, and Chris Wilson, one of the owners of the business, said to me, "Oh, you just managed to get the last one." And I didn't realise how prescient that was, because for months after that, every time I went in, it wasn't there. Until last week. And I had a chocolate marble for the first time in months. I was delighted.
Do you know what's back in its hot water cellar, John?
What?
Millionaire by Wild Brewing Company.
Millionaire?
Wild Beer Company, rather. Yeah, the one that salted caramel.
Ooh.
Little stouty beast. Oh,
wah.
Oh, I am getting my face.
We'll have to go around then.
Most definitely. But yeah, also on the cards, as well as quacking on about beer. How's the landlord, by the way? Are you enjoying it?
He's fine.
He's fine, isn't he?
Yeah, he's all right.
He is fine.
He's eased into the situation now.
He's an easy guy.
He's quite
man.
Smug, because he says landlord has won more major awards than any other beer, including 4 times as Camera Champion Beer of Britain.
All right, landlord. Get over yourself.
Don't your life story, mate.
Bloody hell.
Dickhead.
God, I've gone right off him now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good beer. It's a sturdy beer.
Sturdy beer.
But yeah, aside from the beer, we also like to talk about just some random old guff that's been in the news.
Yeah.
Normally John does this bit, but he couldn't be arsed.
So
I'm doing it now. And when I take over, typically, what happens typically, John, when I do the not a news story?
Is it AI is involved?
It does involve AI.
Ah.
I do like a bit of the old artificial intelligence.
Can't say it, but he loves it.
Hi, Ash. And I mean, before now, we had Benjamin.
We did. He's been a recurring character in our podcast.
Indeed. We had Benjamin, who wrote the screenplay Sunspring.
Yes.
And also the song that took place in Sunspring. Although that, he just wrote the words, someone else made the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Flow Machines.
Yes.
Who wrote some music. And then Benoit Balls came along and wrote, did the words.
Yeah.
Just like... And it just kind of felt, why can't they get together and make a full song? Yes. Or, John, why can't someone create an AI that'll do both?
Huh.
Well, guess what, John?
Oh, no way!
Oh. Here's a little article from The Guardian. It's no Christmas number one, but AI-generated song brings festive cheer to researchers. Neural karaoke program can take any digital photo and transform it into a computer-generated sing-along.
Motherfucker.
I know, right? Well, what they did to test this, they took a picture. You can see just there, a little picture of a Christmas tree. Will go up on the Tumblr, so you'll be able to see it as well.
Yep.
And they put that through the network, and it made the music, and it wrote some lyrics. And you know what, John?
What?
They're shit. But, at least they were legitimately made. The whole thing was legitimately made by an AI program.
Do you know what that says to me? That says to me everything I need to know about Christmas music. Because there is only one Christmas song that I can bear to listen to.
Oh, which one's that then?
Everything's Gonna Be Cool This Christmas by Eels.
You don't even have time for Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses.
Fuck no.
Oh,
you've
hurt me, John. You've hurt me.
I've finished... my Christmas shopping. I've got everything I need to get now.
Yeah.
Apart from whatever I think of on Christmas Eve while I'm sitting with my mum and dad and go, balls. But every...
Don't buy your parents balls. They won't appreciate it.
Well, you know.
Especially not if you're trying to rob that sex shop. Get a dildo in the face. Refer to previous episode.
Yeah. Come back here, you. Or shove this up your ass. Don't know where that came from. but every fucking shop that I have been in, I've just been going around my own business, you know.
Around your own business.
Around my own business.
Not about it, but around it. No, don't leave business in the middle of the shop.
I have to. It's all right, they'll clean it up. It's fine, it's their job.
Oh, you're the worst.
I am the worst, but it doesn't matter, because everyone else is worse. So, every shop I've been in, I've just been minding my own business, and then every visit to every shop at some point has been interrupted by Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas. I am so fucking sick of that song.
I don't mind that song so much. I do think there's far worse, like everything that Cliff Richard's ever done.
Yeah.
But I don't mind that song so much.
I have grown to loathe it. I mean, the thing is, I'm not enamoured of Christmas music anyway, really. It just feels forced, and there's just like, hey, we're going to write a Christmas song, and fuck off. but I was in Toys R Us buying a present for my nephew on Monday, and not only were they playing tons of Christmas music, but there was some Burke in the shop who was just whistling along to everything. And I couldn't find who it was. I couldn't see if it was a member of staff or I couldn't see who was doing it. But for every Christmas song, my least favourite Christmas song,
go on, John.
Because I always hear it when it's the least appropriate moment for it, is, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
No, it isn't.
It fucking isn't. Because
that's safe as milk, John.
That's right! See? Exactly.
See how I've brought it back round?
You've brought it back in. Yeah, what? That's very good.
That's how good I am.
I'm going to sting that daddy.
Tough on daddies. Tough on the causes of daddies. I would like to point out that not only does this AI write songs, they've also taught it how to dance. By basically putting Just Dance tunes through it and teaching it basic moves.
Does it have legs?
No. It's kind of they've it's basically like created a little digital stick figure.
Right.
And
okay.
Its moves are a bit dad dancing. The results are more dad dancing than Travolta, the article reads. But one can't expect too much from a single 1 hour lesson.
Well, that's true.
So there you go.
That's true. It'll be on Strictly Come Dancing before 2018.
Right. Ed Balls. Anyway, enough about balls, and let's talk about some music.
Yeah. So first up for this episode, as you will remember, we are talking about the acts that we will be seeing at Safer's Milk Festival next April, and we are talking about them in alphabetical order.
Alphabetical order, mother.
Alphabetical order by surname, which is how come we had Islam Chipsy last week.
Yes, because my mum was a librarian. And she taught me right proper how to do alphabets and shit.
I hope she did teach you how to shit.
Who else is going to teach me, John? The Pope.
Only in the woods.
Oh! There we go. So it's Shirley Collins up next, isn't it, John?
It is, yes.
Which is an interesting one, because, of course, our Shirl was supposed to play at ATP 2016.
Of course she was.
Yeah, she was supposed to be performing No Roses, a classic album with the Albion Band.
Right.
Along with all kinds of folky co-conspirators.
I have a terrible allergic reaction to the word Albion, but carry on.
That's understandable, I think. But yeah, they're supposed to be performing that album, and there's supposed to be a lot of other people. And then, unfortunately, prior to the festival, she had to drop out due to ill health.
Right.
And then, as things wore on, and there were certain problems with payment. other people started to drop out. I remember Olivia Cheney dropped out, which I was...
Because we were looking forward to going to see her set.
Very much going to look forward to seeing Olivia Cheney. Because her album's very nice, but I expected it would be just that little bit more tender and touching in a live scenario. But never got to see her, because she dropped out as well. Obviously deciding because she was no longer needed for the No Roses set, and probably wouldn't get paid for a solo set. Like, well, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Yeah, very much that. And in the intervening time between then and now, she's released an album called Lodestar.
Lodestar.
Which I listened to.
That's good, because I basically based a lot of my opinions on that time a year ago.
Yeah.
When I listened to No Roses by Shirley Collins and the Albion Band.
Yeah. Albion.
Albion Band.
So it's what I would expect from a folk album.
It's hard to say much more, isn't it?
It kind of is. I then clicked on what is the earliest album available on Spotify for Shirley Collins. The earliest album is The Holly Bears the Crown, which was released in 1955. It starts off with some bloke quoting Shakespeare. I could have actually done with exploring a little bit more of the earlier stuff. But she appears on a lot, you know, she's got an album, English Folk Classics. There's an album from 2014 called I Heart Music.
Probably not her choice.
That's the album art.
Right. Okay, yeah, that looks like something that someone's put together out of cheaply sourced scraps of recordings.
There's a lot of albums actually listed on Spotify that do look like they've been cheaply sourced. like that one.
Sweet Jeebus, yeah. But yeah, with adhering to Lodestar then, which is the one that you had a dig around in, was there anything in particular struck you about it?
It's interesting because I mean her voice has aged, I think, considerably since she was first releasing music. And I think actually there seems to be a preoccupation in some of the lyrics about the approach of death and that sort of thing.
That's something that is fairly common in a lot of folk albums, especially when the artist has reached a certain age.
Yes.
But just typically in a lot of folk gardens.
Yeah, the
spectre of death lies in the fields.
Yes. You know.
But I found it much the same. Because I gave a bit of a listen to No Roses a year ago.
Yeah.
When I was expecting to see it performed by a variety of...
musicians.
...of artists.
Yes.
Including Ms. Collins herself.
Yeah.
And which never happened. And I too found it to be... Yes. This is a folk album.
Yeah.
This is a well-made, but fairly otherwise standard folk album.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that we regard it as, you know, a fairly standard folk album... It's kind of largely down to her. I mean, she's one of the originals, really, when it comes to that field of music.
Yes, I mean that was the interesting thing about listening to the snippet from the 1950s is that elements of it feel like part of a BBC production.
Mm. Yeah,
because there were elements of it that were taken from Shakespeare plays and that sort of thing. And so it felt more like some sort of a company of musicians and actors, almost.
Yeah. No, I kind of forget. I did listen to one of the tracks from Lodestar, Death and the Lady.
Yes.
And I actually did find I think I prefer her voice now.
Yeah.
I prefer her voice. It is a little bit more raspy. You know, she's a much older woman now than she was when she recorded No Roses.
Yeah.
And I think it just gives her a bit more character.
Yeah, I think it had more. Her voice had more character, and also that it actually suited the style of music more.
Absolutely, it's good to have a characterful, imperfect voice.
Yes.
When you're recording a bottle opener falling off the arm of a chair, it's always important. When you're doing something like folk or country, you know,
yes,
people will always praise the people who have perfect voices and can hit all the high notes, but the people who have a bit of a rasp to them, have a bit of character, they're the ones that find themselves with a bit of longevity and a rabid following.
Indeedy.
I didn't dislike it.
No.
By any stretch.
I didn't have a hankering need to turn it off.
No. But neither did it really... You know,
float. Now, there are some avenues of folk that...
You've got a bit of the hiccups, haven't
you? I have got the hiccups, yeah.
Come on. You all right? Not to surprise you?
yeah, give me a compliment.
The jokes aren't always shit.
It's funny because it's true. No, there's some avenues of folk that I don't tend to be all that in love with. And I think that sits in that ballpark.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I can't listen to it and go, this is good.
This is well made. It's good.
Yeah. That's
that's about it, really.
That's as deep as I get.
Right, so, sting it, bro.
Stinger.
Right then, so on to the next act, which I believe is Carla Del Forno.
Yes, a contrast.
Yes.
To
interesting thing was when I originally looked at the album that I listened to, You Know What It's Like. The name of the record,
which is what I listened to as well.
Yes, because there's not actually that much.
It's the only thing I could find.
There's a paucity of released music by Carla Del Forno. When I looked at the cover, this black and white photo of a winsome young lady sat down with a mug possibly containing tea or maybe some Horlicks or something.
Which
you just brought up on your phone.
Which, then, presumably, she's held out of the window while it's been raining milk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
See previous podcast.
Hallelujah. I was expecting a folky singer-songwriter album.
Yes.
Which is totally not what I got.
No.
Not even a little bit.
No.
Well, her voice would be... perfectly well suited to some guitar strumming, tender balladry.
Because there is some singing.
There is a bit of singing, and she does have a very nice voice, a very pleasant, soft, subtle voice.
Yes.
But this is not the music that she's making.
No.
Do you want? Is there any biog that you'd like to read out, John?
Oh yes, I've missed that bit out.
I kind of railroaded you with Shirley Collins the first time with reminiscences of when she didn't play ATP.
The problem with Shirley Collins' entry on the Safer's Milk site is that it's very long in depth paragraphs.
She can't really.
I couldn't have. Anyway. The music of Australian Carla Del Forno is another recently discovered pleasure we're excited to bring to the first Safer's Milk. Her debut album, You Know What It's Like, is coated in deadpan detachment and urban ennui, thinly veiling deeper thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. She paints this musically by adorning her subtly arranged songs with deep aural atmospheres. There are deep echoes of Nico and Joy Division in the record, and you can't help wondering if she is aware other people will hear this music.
Mm.
Laura Snape's review for Pitchfork maybe puts it best. Intimacy doesn't mean comfort and consistency, but attaining a level of trust that allows you to run alongside someone into the void. Cosmic swarms around minimal, dystopian dub on fast-moving cars, which maintains a potent, heavy pace. It eventually swallows Del Forno's voice as it melts into the ether, sublimating certainty and centering the thrill of fringes.
There's all kinds of sibilance going on there.
There is.
The sublimation of certainty.
There is.
Love it. Yeah, Carla Del Forno. Do you want? Shall I take points on this one?
Go for it.
All right. Yeah, I've already talked about my preconceptions of what I was expecting, which were then completely subverted by the actual music itself.
Yeah.
Which is, yes, subtly electronic.
Yes.
A little offbeat. It's got a bit of a synth wave vibe to it. Bits of it reminded me a little of BBC Radiophonic Workshop.
Yeah.
The very first track, Italian Cinema.
Yeah.
Oddly, that was the one that reminded me most of BBC Radiophonic Workshop, because I could just imagine these kind of some little kind of like insectoid robots. Attacking the TARDIS,
yeah.
And just kind of trouting, looking on, just a little bit put out by the whole thing.
What are we going to do?
Yes, it was just slightly retro, like a little bit sinister, but almost comically sinister, you know. So it wasn't fully dark, but neither was it funny.
Yeah.
You know, when I say comically sinister, I mean it kind of there was a kind of a warmth to it, and not just it wasn't just oh this is terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
It was. A very, very interesting little piece of music. And then it carries on in a similar kind of vein. It reminded me a bit of Fever Ray, but a bit more lo-fi.
Yeah.
Her voice is very soft, beguiling, I would even say. Mm. And so it's a very gentle, very subtle piece of work that I was completely charmed by.
Yeah.
Even though it was not at all what I was expecting based on preconceptions from the album cover.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of closer to Actress than
Shirley Collins.
Yes.
Yes. Although not really close to either, if we're being very honest.
No,
but... But yeah. What did you think, John? What was your takeaway from this?
Mm.
What would fairly be dubbed a mini album, I would say. It's a fairly short work.
It's not an EP.
Mm. But now that it feel like a full length,
it's interesting, isn't it? Because there are moments when it strikes some really solid rhythms.
Mm.
It kind of, to me, puts it somewhere between Actress and Chrome.
Mm.
Because it's got a slightly bleak air about parts of it.
Mm.
But it's also coupled with some really good track titles. From something just like What You're Gonna Do Now.
Mm-hmm.
You Know What It's Like is a great title.
Yeah, because you know what it's like, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it mentions like self-absorption in that summary. You get the last track, which is called The Same Reply.
Mm.
And you can only imagine it then relating to text messages, oddly enough, but it was it was an interesting listen, and again, more atmospheric than listening to songs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which I think is the best way of putting that. And again, like actors, actually, I would be interested to see how that translates to a live performance.
Yes, absolutely. I'm keen to check that out. Mm. I also feel that there would be definitely one to get right up to the front for.
Yes.
Because her voice is very subtle and soft.
Yeah.
I imagine being very close up would make for quite an intimate atmosphere.
Yeah.
For the performance. So, yeah. I'm very interested in checking that all the way out.
That leaves us with the third artist of this
episode. Which will be Doppler Effect.
It is Doppler Effect. So what album did you listen to?
I didn't really listen to an album as such, because I was actually quite familiar with half of Doppler Effect.
Okay.
From listening to Drexia.
Right.
I've got a few bits and bobs of Drexia. But I did... there was someone that made a convenient little 10 songs by Doppler Effect. Right. Little list on YouTube.
Oh, very
good. I'll have a little bang through that. And look up on there that I quite enjoyed.
But okay.
If you want to give us a short biog?
A short biog. If I can... Sorry, I'll stop repeating everything you say. Everything you say.
Everything I say.
The influence of Gerald Donald's work as half of Drexia and their sublime output from beneath the Underground Resistance umbrella seems to be still some way from peaking, despite their last productions emerging in 2002. Donald has long since moved on, though, and away. He's now based in Germany, creating another significant impact on vinyl shelves with his output as half of the duo Doppler Effect. Again, there's a mythology intertwined with his musical productions, and, on the surface at least, Doppler Effect could be regarded as some bizarre Afro-futurist Kraftwerk hybrid. Doppler Effect hint at a darker horizon tainted with eugenics and invasive scientific developments, all driven by an irresistible machine funk electro pulse that perfectly matches the dystopian disco demons that Doppler Effect summon.
Dystopian disco demons. Whoever is writing these little bits, they really do love a bit of alliteration and sibilance.
They don't just love it, they hump it.
They do. They get right on its leg and just... yeah! Which, you know, I can't judge them for, because I hump dogs. No, John. I also love a bit of...
I've got it on record that you said that.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't prove it. Delete all photos. I too love, you know, the old alliteration and such, yeah. Like, you know, those rhetorical contrivances.
Yes.
I'm a sucker for them. It's good. So, yeah. Doppler Effect. Do you want to lead us through some Doppler Effect, John?
I do.
Tell us about what you thought of the old Doppler Effect.
Right, here's what I listened to, an album from 2014 called Hypnagogia. Hypnagogia.
Yeah.
Which is just two songs.
Oh.
I also listened to Gesamtkunstwerk.
Say again?
Gesamtkunstwerk.
I thought that was what you said.
It was what I said. And again, it was another of the acts I've listened to in prep for Safe as Milk that have really played around with repetition.
With what, John?
Repetition.
You just dropped that on the floor again! Oh, meta! High five.
Oh, perfect. Missed.
Yeah.
So, again, it's the kind of thing that I can listen to when I'm doing something else. And I don't mean that in a derogative sort of way, but it's another of the acts I listen to on this where the music has a very atmospheric feel to it. And so, like, I mean, for example, much of what I've listened to in prep for this, I've just been playing on Star Wars Battlefront.
All right.
And taking in the music at the same time. And some of the music, because of the way it's... because of the vibe of it and because of... it doesn't demand a great deal of attention.
Mm.
It kind of demands... It almost feels like it demands that you just take it in unconsciously so that you're not necessarily... you know, actively listening to it, it's the music's there and what you're doing is there, and you just, you know, not a lot of music feels like that for me, but that was perfect for it.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I was familiar with the tracks here before I started listening to any Doppler effect, so there's not a massive amount of difference between the two. I mean, they both work in kind of a squelchy kind of electronic area.
Yeah.
It's again that kind of brain dancey kind of warp records, reflex records kind of thing. And there's a lot of pulsing rhythms. I think I would say that maybe Doppler effects are a bit more heavy on the pulsing rhythmic side of things.
Yes.
But every now and then they break out a bit more of a synth pop song.
Yeah.
Because there's one that I listened to called Porno Star, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
Smashing. I had some nice little very heavily processed vocals.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is a cracking little tune. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. But broadly speaking, I get what you're talking about. It's great music to be around. Yeah. But not necessarily to pay all of your attention to.
No. I mean, that leads me to wonder how easy it would be to be present for a live performance.
It feels more like a DJ set, I suppose. Having the music going on.
That's how my mind kind of pictures it.
Mm.
It's
often the case with a lot of electronic music, I think, as well. You know, it's because the almost the nature of the beast makes the live performance of it a bit weird.
Yeah. Well, you kind of wonder just how the audience engagement side of it plays out.
It's often with massive amounts of drugs with a lot of electronic performances, but obviously we wouldn't be doing that.
No, we won't.
No.
Not
least because of the crack sniffer dogs at the Prestatyn Pontins.
That was amazing. There was a moment going into the Pontins at Prestatyn where I felt like I was being inducted into a gulag.
Yes, the hipster gulag.
I've actually described what the first ATP that I went to, I described it on the radio as a hipster gulag.
It's apt, though. It's,
it is, yes.
It's a wonderful experience, but
it's not a very good year to start referring to gulags.
Probably not, no.
No.
No. The, sniffer dogs and drugs.
Yes.
But no drugs. No drugs because of sniffer dogs. Despite that one guy that I met last year who was off his nut.
Absolutely.
Everything.
He must have had them, like, brought in by air from a drone.
Or just walked along the beach because the beach is just a big beach.
Yeah.
You know, there's no gates there. So we just go, like, I've got some drugs, man.
I found these drugs that washed ashore.
In a bottle with a note.
Just said, eat me.
Please take care of my drugs.
So I did. I ingested them. No one will ever get them there.
Oh, he was off his chuff on acid and MDMA, bless him. He was the happiest man I've ever seen. He will never remember a thing of what happened that day.
Now, is that the one who's wearing a microwave door as a hat?
No, that was another guy.
Right.
But it was at the same party. They were never going to get their deposit back. Doppler effect.
Yeah.
Also a good thing. But John!
Yes!
It's raining milk.
Oh no!
Oh, and dismal Paul's at the door.
Oh.
He wants to talk to you. Oh. God, what does he want?
What does he want?
Oh, he wants to sell you some drugs.
And to tell me that his fridge has started humming.
Yeah, and he's humping a dog.
Yeah.
And, dismal Paul, go away.
Humping a dog. Humping a dog.
You want to go through all of that unpasteurised nonsense with a dog humpage and the dismal drugs. There's one band out of those three that you're going
to have to go trudge
all the way across Prestatyn Pontins to go and see. Who's it going to be, John?
I think Carla Dal Forno.
I agree quite strongly.
Because I am just very interested as to how her music plays out on stage.
Mm. And I suspect it will be a very intimate experience.
Yes.
Because of the nature of her voice and the music she creates. So I'd like to get quite up to the barrier on that one and just to
see how it plays out.
Bathe in the musical splendour.
Indeed.
So yeah, I think we're fully agreed on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing against our show, but I'm sure will turn out a very entertaining, folky experience that I will attend.
Yes. I think it's interesting as well, because I think Shirley Collins's set has the potential to be quite an amusing one.
Yes. I mean, also, we don't know who else might be performing with her.
No.
Because she's got a lot of pull in folk circles, and a lot of the bands who actually did play at ATP last year, this year while recording, last year when you actually hear this.
Depending on where we are, I could just nip it out on Boxing Day for a laugh.
Don't do that, John.
Okay.
Not a... This is all of January stuff that we're in right now. A lot of... I get the impression that a lot of the folk acts that played that festival were playing it because Shirley was there.
Right, really?
I just got that vibe, because...
There's a lot of really angry people, because, like...
Oh, bollocks.
She's not fucking there! Fuck.
Well, a lot of them were supposed to be performing with her.
Was Richard Dawson one of them?
I don't know.
Because that would be interesting.
That would have been a hell of a beast, because he's a hell of a performer. He's absolutely wonderful.
I saw something somewhere recently. I think he played a set of... I think he played at a cave.
He's perfect for cave singing.
He had an audience.
Yeah.
He was just doing cave on his...
But Trembling Bells, of course. They were supposed to be doing... playing the entirety of No Roses.
Oh, that would have been
really Trembling Bells were really good.
Yeah.
And I think it was supposed to be a bit of a ensemble thing. So yeah. People like Olivia Chaney were going to be joining in. Because Trembling Bells were the main band of it.
Yes.
And Shirley, of course, was going to be involved, and there's going to be a Shirley Collins performance, but a Trembling Bells performance, various other folk luminaries of today. And of course most of that never happened. Trembling Bells still put in performance.
They
a very good performance.
And a double the performance.
Yeah, well, we presume double, because we were told that they weren't starting until later, and then they started at the regular time, which was deeply confusing. Thanks, Barry. Anyway, so, yeah, Shirley Collins probably, I'd say definitely worth a look.
Worth a look.
And Doppler Effect similarly.
Worth a look, but again, on my scale of importance of the three,
I think that's the bottom of your.
They're the most shrug worthy. Shrug worthy is a new word that I've just come up with.
It's your new surname, isn't it?
Yeah, John Shrugworthy.
John.
Yeah.
John.
Yep.
John.
Yep.
Play this thing, John.
Oh shit! Yeah. You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Oh shit,
yeah! The music is by Attack of the Vapors. Listen. They're good, aren't they? The podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.
Shit, yeah.